Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Extra Point Podcast. Really glad you've taken time today to jump on board this train and listen in. Really appreciate it. Today is Tuesday, August 27th, and I want to just spend some time answering a question and diving a little more into the phrase open door that we find in Colossians 4. This was our text last week. As you know, the Extra Point Podcast is generally about the previous week's text and the theme or topic that pervades it. Of course, last week's text and message was about our witness and mission. Part of that is this phrase or these words in Colossians 4. It is in verse 3 in which Paul says to the Colossian believers, he says, pray for us that God may open a door to us. And so the question is, what really is an open door? Can you help us understand more about that concept? And so I want to do that today on the Extra Point Podcast. Just before we dive into that, I want to give you a preview of next week. This coming Sunday is our last Sunday in the book of Colossians. And so we're going to follow that up with a special podcast regarding the theme of the entire book. That theme, in a word, is preeminence. And we're going to talk very practically about preeminence and what it means in our life, how we go about it, how we can tell if we're under it, if we're aware of it. And by preeminence, I mean Christ preeminence. That is the theme of Colossians. And so we're going to talk very practically about preeminence next week. I'll have a guest with me. And I want to encourage you to join that conversation as a great way and hopefully as a very insightful way to really help Colossians land in a very shoe leather fashion. But before that, let's talk some today about this concept of an open door. Just so you'll know, it is mentioned about three times in the New Testament, here in Colossians 4, as well as in I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 2, or around verse 12, Paul says that when he came to Troas, the Lord opened a door of opportunity for me. There's also this reference in Revelation chapter 3, I believe it is, where it says, I have set before you an open door. And so the meaning of this phrase, open door, is used in 2 Corinthians 2, and it's the word opportunity. In fact, the idea of an open door, it's a metaphor, it's a symbol of opportunity. But let me be a little more specific if I can. I think as you look at the times it's used in the New Testament especially, you'll find that it's referring to an opportunity for gospel progress that may not last very long. And so this idea of an open door seems to be a timely issue, and it seems to be a missional issue. And so as we think about our life and how there may be open doors in it, we should look for things that are timely and missional. And when I say things, I'm referring to opportunities. So let me share a little bit more about these opportunities that I believe are usually timely, or you could even say timed, because they seem to come and go, and there could be many of them, and they can vary in their frequency. But we can say this, they're timed and they're missional. So as we look for these opportunities, these types of open doors, these types of moments, here's some things I think would be helpful to know, all right? First of all, open doors are God-created. They're not produced by man, though we do recognize them, and they do happen providentially within our circumstances and our life events. They are God-created, and we draw this from the fact that Paul asked the Colossian believers to pray that God would open a door. So Paul credits and acknowledges that the creator of open doors is God. He's the one who ordains and providentially and sovereignly places in front of us moments for and opportunities for gospel progress. Now, because they're God-created, that means they're also then Spirit-discerned. That's the second thing I want you to notice about this. Of course, the Holy Spirit is God. He's the third person of the Trinity. There's the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And so they're God-created. We could say Father-created, if you want to keep it in Trinitarian language. But they're God-created, and they're Spirit-discerned. I use that language because the Holy Spirit lives in all those who are genuine believers. And so the Holy Spirit leads us, guides us, prompts us, he gifts us, he illuminates us. And this is his ministry or his role. And so when God, the Father, creates an open door, the Spirit then opens our eyes to it or illuminates us to it, guides us to it, shows us the open door that God, the Father, is creating. That's why open doors are Spirit discerned. Again, they happen in our life and within our experiences, so they can seem very providential, like they're almost normal in some way, and yet they're actually very divine. They can seem very natural, and yet they're actually supernatural, and so they take supernatural eyes to see them, or what I would say, Holy Spirit vision, Holy Spirit thinking, Holy Spirit eyes. Now, I want to show you this from Acts 16 just briefly if I can. I've been intrigued by this passage for years. I have found great comfort and hope in it. It is the passage or the chapter that precedes the founding of the church in Philippi. But what often we don't remember is that the church at Philippi came after what seemed to be a closed door, or we could even say knocking on something that never really seemed to open. We would even perhaps say failure or a lack of results. You could use all kinds of words. I often try to think about what I would have felt if I were in their shoes in that moment. I probably would have felt somewhat dejected, thinking, man, this isn't working. What are we doing wrong? What's the problem? And you know, we think very humanly in those moments. Often, God closes doors because he's trying to steer us to an open door. And this is what happened in Acts 16. Can I read verses 6 through 10 for you? And I want you to pay special attention to verse 10, because I'm maintaining that open doors are God created, but they're Spirit discerned. Notice I'll begin in verse 6, and then I'll draw attention to verse 10. Here's Acts 16, verse 6. They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia. They had been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. So there's a spiritual component there, a Holy Spirit supernatural component. We're not sure how they were forbidden, what human circumstances might have been going on that seemed to prevent them from speaking the word of God. But Luke here records that they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit. So it doesn't seem to be like a ruling or a governmental law that was clearly known. It seems to be something that was more spiritual in nature, either a prompting or an awareness or maybe a hurdle that they realized this is from the Lord to prevent us from speaking the word. Regardless, Luke just records for us they'd been forbidden to speak the word in Asia, and this forbiddance was given by the Holy Spirit. And so they came to Mysia, I'm now in verse 7, and they tried to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So twice now, we see the Holy Spirit preventing entrance into a door, or we could say preventing an opportunity. And so they just continued to read this correctly. They understood it rightly. And so verse 8 says, passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and during the night, Paul had a vision in which a Macedonian man was standing and pleading with him. Cross over to Macedonia and help us. This was the plea from the man in the vision. Now here's verse 10. After he had seen the vision, we immediately made efforts to set out for Macedonia. So there's the open door. And they realized that the other doors were closing or had closed, and they knew this was the work of the Spirit. So now they realized we should set out for Macedonia. The vision is from the Spirit. He's calling us to this new area. Notice the end of verse 10. I love this phrase. Concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Do you see the equation thinking? And I use that not in a negative sense, but in a spiritual sense. Holy Spirit sense. They looked at all that the Holy Spirit was doing, and then they discerned, the word in the text is concluded. They added up. Here's what the Holy Spirit is saying and doing, and here's how he's leading us. And so they left where they were. They didn't feel guilt for the efforts they had put forth that really didn't bring about any results. They realized the Holy Spirit had prevented at least two opportunities and now had opened a different one. And so they pursued it, and I love this word, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Interesting, isn't it? Luke here records the calling as from God, and yet he says that throughout the experience, it was the Spirit who was closing the doors and the Spirit who was helping them discern why something was prevented. And so that's why I want to use this language here when we think about open doors. They are God created, but they're Spirit discerned. And so they do take spiritual eyes. Open doors take supernatural vision. And by that, I don't mean some kind of weird or odd, you know, language or thinking. I just mean the ability to see life from the Holy Spirit's perspective and asking these kinds of questions. What's going on here that's below the surface? What's really happening here that's maybe not clear to the naked eye, but is actually very clear to the Spirit's eye? And so you're looking not just for human things going on. You're looking for supernatural things that are happening that may not be humanly visible, but they're spiritually perceived. And this is what I mean by open doors and saying that they're Spirit discerned. And so we have to have these kinds of eyes throughout our lives, and I would say throughout our day, to moments of opportunity that God gives us for gospel progress. And so thirdly, I'd say this, when we have those kind of eyes for what God is doing, when we have the Holy Spirit who helps us discern what the Father is doing so we can then react and respond appropriately, we must realize that open doors are, thirdly, they're time sensitive. I think we see this not only in Acts 16. I think we see it in when it's used in 2 Corinthians 2. And I think it's even implicit in the language. Think about this. If there's an open door, the implication is it could be closed later, or it may have been closed earlier. And so I think it's important to realize that open doors are time sensitive. This should motivate us to act decisively, quickly, humbly, spiritually, dependently. When a moment arises in which there's an opportunity for gospel progress, remember, there's the missional component and here's the timed or timely component. It won't be open forever. It won't last forever. So take advantage of the moment, take advantage of the open door, and walk through it. And I think this is really in the whole context. Again, I'll back now to Colossians chapter 4, when Paul talks about praying for us that we'll have an open door that God creates. And then just a few verses later talks about taking advantage of every opportunity. I think there's some real connection there. Paul is realizing that as we pray for open doors, these may very well be the moments that pop up that we need to take full advantage of. And there are always moments in which we should redeem the time or make the most of it. It's a moment for gospel progress. It's a moment for gospel impact. Now, while I can't say this definitively, I do think these happen on a regular basis in our lives. I have no verse and I have no research to back this up as far as frequency, but my sense is that they happen more than we want to realize. And what I think sometimes we do is we make the big moments about open doors. And I've done this, you've done this. It's not a sin. It's probably just a tendency and a natural one at that. But I would predict and I would tend to think that we have more open doors on a daily basis than we realize. Moments for gospel progress in perhaps conversations or personal interactions in our home, in our workplaces. Often they're not in the big moment or the large encounters. They're often in these one-on-one interactions, these intersections that seem minuscule at the moment, but they could be an open door for gospel progress with just one person or maybe a couple. And so I want to appeal to you, the Sheep at First family and all those who listen in from the outside, so to speak. I want to encourage all of us to have eyes to see the open doors that God is creating and the Spirit is giving us the wisdom and ability to discern, and then, Lord willing, the gifts and the power to walk through them. This really was the prayer Paul was praying. He asked the church, pray that God would give us open doors. And of course, the rest of the phrase is this, for the word. And so we're looking for open doors in which the word can do its work and the gospel can impact and the gospel can make progress in the life of someone or a group. This is what we're praying for, and this is also what we're looking for. And my exhortation to you, First Family, all of our listeners, is to look for them more frequently than you have before, because God is creating them. His Spirit will help you discern them, and they are time sensitive. And because gospel urgency matters, because the gospel is a priority, mission matters, let's have eyes to see the open doors.
Thanks for listening to the Extra Point Podcast. To find more content and resources to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus, go online to firstfamily.church/resources.